10 years, obviously, we're talking about this wild card game. I want you to take me through your emotions of that entire day.
I don't remember much about the drive to the ballpark or pregame, or I really don't remember much about the game except for the things that really stand out, like the two Brandon Moss home runs and Ned Yost getting booed after he went to get Yordano Ventura and bring Kelvin Herrera into the game. So some of the finer details of the day I don't really remember, but probably the most meaningful thing for me was after the game was over, I had to go from the radio booth out to Rivals for television duties. And in order to get there, I had to walk through the concourse. And that rarely ever happens for me right after the game. I'm typically sitting in the booth and finishing my work and waiting for the stadium to clear out, and then I'll head home. But I had to get out there. And just to back up, I had done 2 winning seasons in my entire career going into 2014, and I'd never done a postseason game. And so there was a big part of me that was envious of other broadcasters that had done postseason games. And I would go to other stadiums, and they would have this long video montage before the lineups were announced, and they would have these iconic moments in team history, which included the iconic calls that went with that play. And I could look to my right or my left and see one of the broadcasters that made that call, and they got to hear that every single day at home. And I thought, man, how cool would that be? And so I was envious, and I remember the after the game was over, walking from the radio booth out to Rivals, the people were just starting to leave their seats and head home. And I mean, it was just chaos in a good way. Complete strangers were high-fiving themselves. They were hugging each other. I mean, they were just out of their minds because this long playoff drought was over. All the punchlines about the Royals, it was over. We won this miraculous game, and we were advancing in the postseason. And as I was walking through, nobody recognized me, but I really got to take it in as, you know what, this isn't about me at all. This is all about the players and the fans that come to support them. And in the biggest moment of my broadcasting career, I got to sit back and just realize how little I was in the big picture and how grateful I was to, you know, just to go along for the ride. So that's what I remember about the wild card more than anything else. I mean, it was a career changer for me to witness that and give me a different perspective.
I always find those games, Rhino, kind of interesting because, you know, we talk football and whatever else there may be, and you always ask people the age-old question is, would you rather this game be a blowout or would you rather be, you know, like a nail-biter? I don't think we have the same feeling that entire playoff stretch if you don't have a game like that wild card game that the Royals had.
Yeah, I agree, Dusty. And to be honest, I never really followed the playoffs. When the season was over, I was done. I mean, I just wanted to be done with the year. And I would pay attention to the scores. I mean, I would get up the next day and wonder what the scores were, and I'd watch the highlights. If there was a big moment, I wanted to see it. And then if I knew a game 7 was in the 8th or 9th inning, I might turn it on just to watch the celebration and hear how the announcer handled the final out. But I didn't really follow the postseason closely. So, you know, you get into the postseason and it's a 2-run game in the 4th inning, and the starter is, you know, walks a couple of guys, like, he's out. I mean, you're turning it over to the bullpen. I mean, making these dramatic changes that I wasn't used to, and it just lends itself to how important every pitch is and every out. And, you know, the wild card game and all the playoff games after that in 14 and 15, just how much strikes were cheered at Kauffman Stadium. Yeah. And routine outs were cheered at Kauffman Stadium. I will say after you know, the final out in 15, it was nice to have a big cushion and you could kind of build it up. But there weren't many of those. They all seemed to go right down to the wire.
And obviously this one did as well. In the first postseason game in 29 years featuring the Royals, it goes down to the last play. And it was a roller coaster ride the entire time. Like, what are you thinking throughout this entire game? Because I know – When Josh and I were there at that game, we were going through how many different show scenarios and constantly changing the show for the next morning because obviously it was getting late. We're trying to get our work done. You went from winning to losing to firing Ned to Ned's a hero to, oh, my God, they're going to lose. Oh, my God, this happened. High, low, high, low. Like, I can't imagine being behind the mic for that moment in that game, knowing what we were all going through as fans as well.
Yeah, there were. That's a good point because there were some good baseball moments and there were some personal moments in there too. And you mentioned, you know, Ned being fired. And Bob, I remember, I think Ron Gardenhire had just been let go by the Minnesota Twins. And in all my years at Kauffman Stadium, I can tell you, I have never ever heard somebody get booed there like Ned Yost did when he went to get Yordano Ventura. And we all wondered, why was Yordano Ventura in the game in the first place? And he gives up the home run to Brandon Moss. He finally goes and gets Kelvin Herrera. And when Ned walked off of the mound, and we're thinking, man, this game is lost because Yordano Ventura was pitching out of the bullpen. What's going on? I remember thinking, like, can Dayton bring him back next year after all of this? And all of a sudden, my phone starts blowing up with text messages. Ron Gardenhire, line one. Ron Gardenhire, line two. Like, it just seemed like a moment that he might not be able to survive. And of course, you know, it turned out just great. But yeah, there were the baseball moments, and then there were the moments of how's Dayton going to handle this tomorrow? What's Ned going to say after the game? So I do remember that part of it very well.
I want to keep going through that with the non-baseball moments, because with this whole thing that we're doing, we're hearing from players that were there, from other, you know, executives as well. But I want to hear from Ryan LaFever's point of view, because I imagine this was a dream scenario for you to see this from a booth and be around the game your whole life. What do you do when it's just you, the steering wheel, and a cloud and a sky full of stars on your way home after a game like that?
I don't remember the drive home. I can tell you that. Other than just soaking in what had just happened. And I didn't drive home. We came to the ballpark with a suitcase, not knowing if we were going home after the game or if we were going to fly to Anaheim. So it ended up being a long game. It was a late game. And then with all the celebrations and with all the post-game stuff, I mean, I don't think we departed until like 1 a.m. So I do remember just taking it all in and, you know, what did I just see? And but what really stuck with me was just the reaction of the crowd and how important it was to Kansas City. And as fate would have it, Salvi's hit was in the 12th inning. And going back to Denny and Buddy Blattner, they've always alternated extra innings on the radio, that whoever is the lead announcer calls the 9th, and then the number 2 announcer the 10th, the lead announcer the 11th, and this game ended in the 12th inning. And I never really thought much about the call, to be honest. It was just taking in everything that had happened. It was just like, let's see, so 2014 would have been my, 16th year with the Royals. And so it was just all of those 100 lost seasons, all of those good players that we weren't able to keep and they moved on and they had big years in other places. Like, it just all came together that one night. And the goal, obviously, was to go further than the wild card game. But it was just so fulfilling to see Kansas City celebrating the way that they were and the players celebrating the way that they were, that it's a very numb feeling, even getting on the plane and people getting on the plane with their families in the middle of the night and we're going out to Southern California. It was surreal.
You know, Ryan, it's amazing that we're 10 years later and I'm still getting the emotion of you talking about that. I can feel the goosebumps, you know, the hair on your neck standing up when we're talking about this game. And I'm thinking about your call, and down the line it's fair and the Royals win it. And, you know, you get choked up thinking about it because of how impactful that one hit was, not just for the Royals, but for all of Kansas City. And not only did the Royals take a step forward that night, our city took a big step forward that night in believing in ourselves. And I think the Royals were not a microcosm, but the catalyst, really, in leading Kansas City for the next 10 years in us turning ourselves around as a city and now becoming one of these destination-type places.
I've heard that. I've actually heard that from people that were at a crossroads in their life, and they just watched the 2014 playoffs. And they moved to Kansas City, and they had no ties to the area. They had no roots here. And there was just something about Kansas City that seemed appealing. And we're so used to today guys hitting home runs and pointing to the bullpen, or, you know, they get on base and they make a sign to the dugout and whatever. But the 14 Royals were the first team that did that, and they did it in a way that was not disrespectful to the opponent. I mean, baseball at that time and 100 years before that was always just a game of respect. You respect your opponent. You don't show too much emotion on the field. You act like you've done it before. You stay even keeled because it's a marathon. It's not a sprint, blah, blah, blah. We've heard all of that. But this team just had a way of and the whole point of pointing to the bullpen and pointing to the dugout when you get a hit, the genesis of that was that this is not all about me. We're a team, and even though I just got a double and drove in two runs, I'm thinking about my teammates in the dugout. Or when I hit a home run and I'm rounding the bases, I'm not forgetting about the guys in the bullpen, because those guys might end up being the ones who finish off this game and we end up winning. But the Royals in 14 were the first team to do that, and it looked fun. It didn't look disrespectful. It looked fun. And I remember there was a poll during the World Series in 14 and asking fans who they were rooting for in the 2014 World Series. And I think every state outside of California and maybe every city outside of San Francisco was rooting for the Royals. I mean, they were fun to watch. They were having a good time. And I think it really struck a nerve with people like the three of us who love sports and never came close to playing in the major leagues, and not really understanding how you could hit a game-winning home run in front of 40,000 fans and not get excited. I mean, how could you not get excited?
Yeah.
And now these guys were showing emotion. They were getting excited. Baseball was fun, and fans could live vicariously through the player by saying, yeah, if I made a diving catch like that in the playoffs, that's how I would react. Or if I got a big hit in the playoff, that's how I would react. And so, yeah, I think the whole country fell in love with the Royals during that playoff run.
Before we let you get out of here, you mentioned about the Ned situation. Do you think he survives if the game ends up being lost?
I think so. I mean, Dayton is just so loyal, and that it would have been really hard to forget that he got the team to 10 games above 500 and very close to a playoff spot the year before, and that he did get them into the playoffs and he ended the playoff drought in 2014. I mean, 2014 had its ups and downs too. I mean, it wasn't just a straight line from opening day to the wild card game. I mean, there were a lot of things the team had to overcome. But I think Dayton would have found a way to be very understanding of the fans' frustrations, but giving us a bigger picture perspective as to why, you know, Ned should remain with the team. But I'll never forget those Ron Gardenhire texts showing up on my phone and wondering what everyone else is wondering. Can he survive this?
Ryan, well, we appreciate the time, and thank you for going down kind of memory lane with us and looking back at what I think was probably the most impactful game in the last decade of dominance here in Kansas City.
Thank you, guys. I think I might have enjoyed it more than you did.
We appreciate it. I don't know about that.
Let's do it again this year here in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right. Thanks, Ryan.